Hello and welcome to Landward, readings of place and season. I'm Catherine Young. I live, farm, and write in Richland County in the Driftless area of Wisconsin. Today I'll be reading the second part of a chapter from my book Black Diamonds, A Childhood Colored by Coal. The memoir looks back on my childhood in Scranton, Pennsylvania in the 1960s, a coal-strewn and ashen place, and it contrasts that landscape with the 1856 pastoral and verdant landscape painting, The Lackawanna Valley, by George Innes. Today's reading is from the chapter called The Time of Annis, a time of preparation for a holiday celebration in December. The year is probably 1964. Last time in this two-part story, we heard about mother and daughter in late November preparing for the quarter-mile walk to Grandma's house, where they'll bake anise cookies as they do every year, filling willow wash baskets with cookies for the Christmas holiday. The weather is gray and wet, and they arrive at Grandma's kitchen door. Part two of The Time of Annis. The kitchen is steamy and warm and smells of radiator. The silver beast beneath the window hisses its welcome. Lucky, Grandma's old black hound, lies at the far end of the room. He thumps his mangy tail and lifts only his eyes in welcome. Mama sets her bag down on the table. Grandma's big maple cutting board and her red-handled rolling pin sit at the end of the table. Her bowls are waiting there, too. A perfect nested set of six, from egg-cracking size all the way to the huge one that holds enough rising bread dough for four loaves. I love these bowls, with their smooth, milky white glass. They are bells without clappers, flower pots without holes. The outside of each bowl is covered with red polka dots as big as the size of quarters. Polka dots! The name always makes me giggle. All over the dark navy blue rayon dresses, small white paint specks decorate all the women around. Grandma, her sisters and cousins, my mama, the dresses they wear at anniversaries, weddings, funerals too. The bodices hold paper napkins stuffed inside for bursts of tears. Grandma has already begun the dough before we arrive. The yellow dough waits for only one ingredient. I have the anise oil, Mom, Mama says. She removes cookie cutters and tools from the bag. Mama pushes up my sleeves and folds and ties an apron around me. Grandma finishes the dough and sets it out on the porch table covered with a damp dish towel. Grandma, why is the dough on the porch?
To cool it, honey.
But why?
So you can roll it without getting it too soft.
But you softened the butter.
And lard. She pauses to consider you have to soften the butter and the lard so you can mix it with the other ingredients. Then you cool it to get it firm. You bring it in a little at a time and let it warm. Not too much. So you can roll it.
It has to be just right, Mama adds. If this rich dough gets too warm, it will melt and spread under the rolling pin. The cookies will bake without loft. Grandma nods, and I remember that the last cookies of the day are like this, too thin, flat, greasy, and too brown on the edges and bottoms. Mama lays out the metal cookie cutters she's brought from her house. A star, a circle, a bell. Grandma's cutters of pearly gray metal nestle next to them. A tree, a star, and prettiest of all, a fluted heart and a fluted diamond for cutting ruffled edges in the dough. Each of Grandma's cutters has a punch-out metal band for lifting the cutter off the dough, but the handles have gotten flattened by Grandma's big, strong hands pushing down a little too hard. All the cutters are too sharp for my hands, and Mama and Grandma would just as soon keep me out of the path between the table and the oven. So at the opposite corner of the table, farthest from the stove, Mama sets out red and green plastic cutters for me, a snowman, a Santa, and a tree. Though they press out pictures in the centers of the cookies, they don't cut anise cookies so well. They more mash the dough than cut it.
Grandma gives me my own pile of dough and a tiny rolling pin with red handles like hers. She sets me on a chair where I can kneel and get to work until she needs me. Grandma picks up her rolling pin. As she leans into the straight red handles, the bearings sing. In the gray light of spring, Mama and Grandma make noodles together on the enamel table, side by side, the red handles of Grandma's rolling pin firmly in her hands, gliding to a steady ball-bearing click. Mama's hands ride her solid maple rolling pin, the roots of her fingers bearing down. She extends her arms outward, never breaking contact with the handles. She lifts the pin and pounds the dough with a rumbling sound, a thundering. But now, in this gray light of November, Grandma is the one who rolls and cuts dough while Mama manages the baking trays, slipping them in and out of the oven and gently lifting and sliding finished cookies into the waiting willow wash baskets. Carefully timed cookies will come out creamy, pale yellow. If Mama's lax, the cookies will bake to a crispy brown. The ones we'll eat first this season, dunking them in milk or coffee. The perfect pale cookies wait for company visits and polite nibbling. My job is to place red or green sugar atop raw dough, a big responsibility, and it's painstaking work. The amount of sugar has to be just right. Too much sprinkle covers the beauty of the yellow dough. Too little leaves the cookies naked. There's the question of which colors are for which shapes. Hearts definitely get red. Diamonds do too, so they look like diamonds on playing cards. Stars and trees take green sprinkles, but bells need a little of both colors carefully mixed. The trees need some green in the middle, with red on the tips of their branches for ornaments. While decorating trees, I slow a bit. I want them just right. Mama, wisps of her hair straying from hairpins and perspiration on her brow, looks at me pointedly and says, "Keep it simple, honey." Her eyes see a log jam of hundreds of cookies beginning to melt on trays. We work quietly, smoothly, click and clatter. Grandma lovingly and firmly pushes the buttery dough into smooth wooden board. Swirls of white flour swish over the yellow dough, and now she pushes a shape down. Fluted diamonds, a tray of them. I watch her hands. Her big hands have swirling folds of wrinkles at the middle of her reddened figures. One finger wears the wedding ring, red gold, a tiny, clear, real diamond chip set in a gold heart. There was a grandpa once. He went away a long time ago and died before I ever knew him. Nowhere in Grandma's house is there a photo of him, the factory worker, the Gandhi dancer, a track layer, the musician. Grandma still wears the ring, though. Red sugar falls from my hands, and I want to press out diamonds, diamonds to make us rich and sparkle-filled. In the kitchens of Mama's family up the line, aunts are baking too, dough pinwheels full of dates, chocolate-filled buttery leaf sandwiches, and small round balls of nuts and powdered sugar. Perfect cookies in clean and perfect kitchens. Here this day, we are warmed in the womb of this sagging kitchen rimmed in red, white, and yellow. I look up. Red trims the yellowed stove clock. Red rims the small enamel pot, empty and resting on the stove. Red lids seal yellowed and rusting white tin cans bearing flour, sugar, and salt. Red dots dance on white glass bowls of yellow cookie dough. Trays of yellow cookie diamonds beneath my hands glitter with red sugar. Above the radiator, red-trimmed white curtains soften the silver-gray light outside the windows. Oven warmth and radiator glow wrap us like a quilt trimmed in red against the chill outside. At day's end, our legs are aching from standing. Anise clings to our clothes, and even the dog smells like an anise cookie. We are wrapped in the warmth of anise on the cold walk home. In this holy time, our incense is anise. We won't smell it or taste it again until the holidays begin. When Christmas finally comes, the other side of the family will raise glasses of anisette. Grandpa, my Italian grandpa, will boom out salud, a farewell to an old year and a greeting to the new. The flavor and fragrance of anise will fill us until we eat the last of the pale yellow cookies and clean the crumbs from the tall tins on Valentine's Day when we finish the last of the fluted hearts. You have been listening to the second part of The Time of Anise, a chapter from my memoir, Black Diamonds, A Childhood Colored by Coal, published in 2023 by Torrey House Press. You can find more of my writing at katherineyoungwriter.com. This is Katherine Young for Landward. Thanks for listening. Podcasts of this reading will be available at wdrt.org.